Yeah. You had to practice for that one. But I've seen Brother Guy blow up like four balloons at one time. So he's got lungs. All right. Very good. First Thessalonians. We're going to get on over there and continuing our sermon series through this book, an exemplary church, exemplary faith. And I think that ought to be our heart's desire as a church family, and gleaning some things from this early church and how we can grow in the faith together. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, and we're going to be reading verse number 13 through 20. Now, some might say, well, Pastor Tim, didn't you already preach verse number 13 last week? Yeah, and it's worth preaching at least a little bit more today, and it has to do with the Word of God. And verse number 13 through 20 is what we're going to be looking at. So when you're there, say hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, follow along, please, as I read the Scriptures. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. What is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not ye, even ye, in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Pay attention to that very last verse, a very short verse, but Paul's looking at this church that is there at Thessalonica, and he says, it's you, the people, the souls there at Thessalonica, you saints there in Thessalonica, you are my glory and my joy. What does he mean by that? Well, we'll get there. Let me get to the conclusion. I also want you to do this. 1 Thessalonians 2, I want you to go flip over to Romans 8, okay? Go a few pages back to your left on the other side of the 1 and 2 Corinthians, get over to Romans chapter 8. And when I say, let's go to Romans 8, you will know that the end is near. Romans 8 is where we're going to conclude with today, okay? But until then, 1 Thessalonians. God, I pray that you'd bless the reading, the preaching of your word. May we glean, may we grow, may we strive to see you in the Scriptures, to exalt you, and to reflect you in this world. There may be somebody here that doesn't know you as Savior. And if that would be the case, and Lord, I pray today, they would get that settled. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you know anyone who's been ridiculed for their faith in Christ? Maybe at school, maybe at the workplace, maybe even amongst family, friends, parents. Have you ever been mocked or ridiculed, belittled for being a Christian? Ever been marginalized because you were a person of faith? Some have, some haven't. Some will give up underneath that sort of pressures. Other will become trophy of God's grace. But how can we stand? How can we stand firm when coworkers or neighbors or teammates would mock our faith? I remember an uncle teasing me for going to Bible college. I remember when I was at University of Washington, when my friends would call me Christian boy because I would go to church on Sunday instead of going playing basketball in the gym. Now, these are so small. Those are small. I give different examples, but really I can't say I've faced a lot of persecution. What we face in America is rather small, comparatively speaking, to what other people would face in other parts of the world. For example, this 23-year-old man, a Somali Christian, was tortured and killed for his faith. The headline reads this: members of the extremist Islamic group Al-Shabaab executed 23-year-old Christian convert named Mumin Yusuf. Al-Shabaab members detained Yousef and searched his home for Christian materials while interrogating him about other Somali Christians. The extremists knocked out all of his front teeth, broke several of his fingers, and then they shot him twice in the head and dumped his body on an empty residential street. And since it was unknown whether Mumin revealed information about other Christians while he was tortured, the underground Christians who knew him have relocated for their own safety. You're not going to face that this week. I don't know what comes to your mind when you read things, you hear things like that, but one of the things that does come to my mind is this. I wonder what I would do if that was me. What would I do? Would I have my teeth busted out? Would I have my fingers broken? And I think me and I think a lot of us would like to say, Brother Guy, we were just talking about this the other day. We would like to say, hey, we'd go all the way. We'd follow our Christ no matter what the cost would be. But today, Paul's really going to give us some insight of what that looks like. And I think what you could do is really lay alongside what the Scriptures say and where your heart is, maybe come to some conclusions of, would you really pay that sort of a price? What are you going to do when persecution arises hotter and heavier than what it is right now? And the truth is, if I can't stand when it's easy, I'm not going to stand when it's hard. The truth is, if I have a hard time praising and singing to God while I'm in a church house, I'm not going to take a stand for God while I'm outside of a church house. And so I want us to consider this. Well, we may not face exactly what I read of what's going on in Somalia, but we nonetheless are going to fight some difficulties because of our faith. And so let's look at this. How does Paul encourage this persecuted church, these suffering saints? Number one, he wants them to love the Bible. Verse number 13, where we left off last week, he talks about how he thanked God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of what? The word of God. That's how they received it. They didn't come to a church service wondering what the preacher had to say. They really wanted to come to a church service and know what God has to say. What does the Bible have to teach us today? How can we grow? How can we see Christ? How do we know more about our Savior? How do we follow Him more? How can I reflect Him better? It all comes back down to who is God? Who is our Savior? And how do you treat then the Bible? The Bible's not the word of men. We shouldn't come to it as it's just a list of opinions that this one feels good, this one doesn't feel so good, this one's convenient, this one's easy, I'll make it the convenient, easy route. Really, God's going to be working in our heart and challenging us. And so, do we treat the Scriptures like the Word of God? Now, some of you might be sitting there thinking, well, Pastor, are you trying to say that if I don't have a love for the Bible, I'm not going to have a stand for Christ? Yes, that's what I'm saying. Well, I don't read the Bible. Can't remember really the last time I read it. And others are saying, yeah, I remember last time. It was right now, 1 Thessalonians. But just on your own accord, just you and your Lord. When's the last time that the Scriptures were to you? Man, this is the Word of God for me. Mark chapter 4, listen to this. Jesus gives this parable. He says, the sower soweth the word. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. They received the word with gladness and have no root in themselves. And so endure for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they're offended. There was no depth. They received it. Man, this is good at first. This is great. They received it at first. But man, a little persecution comes. Hey, there's no depth there. And guess what they did? They were offended. They walked away. And I'm telling you, there's no accident. When Paul's trying to encourage persecuted people here, he's encouraging them and thanking God that they received the Scriptures. There was a love that they had for the Scriptures. Warren Wiersbe, again, he's the one who said, the way a Christian treats his Bible shows how he regards his Christ. If you deny this word in easy times, no time for this in easy times, we're not going to have a stand for Christ in difficult times. If you want to stand to small or large persecution, you better love the Word of God. You better love the brethren. Look at verse number 14. Chapter 2, verse number 14 says, "For ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus." So he refers to them a few times in this text. They are brethren, and they are brethren who became followers of, can I say it this way? They became followers of churches. That's interesting, isn't it? Because aren't we always taught, don't follow man, you better follow Christ. It's amazing how the Bible can mess with your theology. These people were following other churches. The Apostle Paul would even say at different times, "Hey, follow me as I follow Christ." And I want to put this thought in your mind. Yes, we are supposed to follow Christ, but there's nothing wrong with following other mentors, teachers, pastors, leaders, moms or dads who are also following Christ. I remember, put it this way, they became followers of these churches. Why? Because they loved them. Some will mimic their parents. I remember there's a photograph floating around somewhere in the Schellenberger household. Dad, I'm probably, I don't know, 3-4 years old. And Dad is laying down in the living room, and he's got one knee up, the other one's crossing his knee like this, and he's got his arms behind his head, chilling, sitting on laying down on the living room floor. Guess who's next to him doing the exact same thing? 4-year-old Timmy, just doing what Dad did. There's nothing wrong. In fact, we ought to, wouldn't it be, isn't it horrible that we've come through this time in American culture where it's fairly normal to say, don't do what I do what I say. That is terrible for parenting. That is terrible for Christianity. That's worth saying again. I'm glad you asked. Okay, I'll repeat myself. That's terrible parenting advice, and that's terrible Christian advice. Do what I say, don't do as I do. The Christian's life, let's parallel it this way. When children started to come into our home, there's Brian, and then Silas, and Brett, now Kaylin. That makes a difference for everything. Everything's different now when children arrive. And part of it is when you see them start to pick up some of your bad habits, and all of a sudden your bad habits, which you tried to justify before, are now like really bad habits. And you're like, wow, I didn't know I looked like that, or I didn't know I sounded like that. I think these things ought to change. Why does it matter? It's because they're mimicking you. And that's how God designs. That's the design. And I would say that's the design of Christianity. Let me explain it this way. Before I started living for God, I had known the Lord, but I really didn't have anybody that would disciple me or help me grow in the faith. And what I found myself doing, gravitating towards one particular rock and roll singer. I wanted his hair. I got pretty close to it. It's pretty cool. I wanted his style of dress, and I got pretty close to that too. And when he came out with one CD, this was back in the 90s, he had this super cool cross. And man, it took me a long time, but eventually I found that cross necklace that he wore. I was like, yeah, this is super cool. You know what I was trying to do? I'm trying to mimic somebody who I looked up to, who I loved. And I remember when things were going bad, things were going wrong, I don't know what to do. Man, I'd throw in his music and I'd try to get some guidance and get some direction. You think that's healthy for a Christian? Probably not. But I did find this, when I started going to church my senior year of high school, it wasn't like a conscious decision, but subconsciously, I started paying attention to some of the men in the church. And then I started finding myself, man, I'm telling you, senior year of high school, there's a lot of decisions and choices that you're faced with to walk away from God or please the Lord. And I found myself being pulled because, man, I've got this rock artist that I have allowed for years to speak into my life, who I followed. But now I've got some Christian men in my life. And I found myself thinking, I started thinking like this, I wonder what Pastor Dave Brown would do. I wonder what Brother Rick Wilder, he was my youth pastor, now he's my father-in-law. I wonder what Brother Rick Wilder would do in this situation. And I found myself more and more, it's almost like this. I didn't really know what the Bible said yet. I haven't even read the Bible through cover to cover yet at that point in time in my Christian faith. And while I didn't know exactly what the Bible had to say, and sometimes I didn't even really know what Jesus would do, but I knew some men who did know him, and I just chose to do what those men did. And it was a help to me. That's the way Christian discipleship is set up. And I don't ask me why, but God saw fit to do it that way. There's no such thing as a perfect Christian, just like there's no such thing as a perfect parent. But nonetheless, there's still the idea that the Bible gives us, hey, if you want to know what it is to stand in the faith, then have a love for the Word of God, have a love for God's people. Have a love for God's people. They did, and Paul did not beat them up. I can't believe you're following the churches of Judea. Come on, follow God. That's not his approach at all. He was happy that they became followers of the churches of Judea. The churches of Judea were going through persecution. They were going through difficulties, and their faith was exploding, and he saw that they were doing the same thing, and he commended them. Good job. Keep it up. So for us to have the discernment, let me say it this way. You might be sitting here with some marriage struggles. You know what would be a healthy question? To be able to look for a Christian couple that you'd like your marriage to be like. Then go spend time with them. Get to know them. Having struggle raising kids? Look for some people that are doing it right. Ask them questions. Well, yeah, I'm just going to follow, man. It's not bad advice. When you have discernment enough to figure out, hey, if that guy's following Christ, if that family's following Christ, that's what I need. I want that. And there is a help to that for us to even strengthen our own faith, even in the time of trial. By the way, John would later say, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Did you catch that? We know that we are Christians. You want to know one of the evidences? Because we love the brethren. There's a big problem, big spiritual problem going on in the heart of anybody who professes to know Christ and yet can't stand to be around Christians, can't stand to go to church. You meet a lot of bitter people out there, man, they're spiritual. They love Jesus, but man, they just can't stand God's people. Man, that really makes me wonder. A large part because of what John would say. He repeats himself other times. We know we've passed from death to life. Why? Because we love the brethren. Hey, you want to stand when difficulties and persecution come? Love the word. Love the brethren. Then understand this. Know this, that you're not the only one suffering. You're not the only one going through the difficulties. You're not the only one going through the trials of your faith. Look with me at verse number 14. The last part of that. He says that ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they please not God and are contrary to men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their own sin always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Paul, it's interesting, if you didn't catch this, Paul points out four different people that are also going through persecution or have. He says, right now, you're going through some difficulties and persecution, just like the churches at Judea, just like Jesus Christ, just like the prophets, and just like me. Paul gives four examples of people that have suffered for the faith. So you want to make it through times of trials of your faith? You want to make it through difficulties? Love the word, love the brethren, and just know this. Know that you're not the only one who's going through the difficulties. And Paul gives four examples of people that are also going through trials because of their faith. I think one of the healthiest things that we can do is remember that we don't suffer alone. How many remember on Wednesday night, we went through this part of our Wednesday night study. By the way, that's been good. While I'm going to be out of town this Wednesday, I'm going to be at a pastor's conference. Brother Leroy Saffels is going to be leading the study on Wednesday night. The ladies will have their breakout groups going on too Wednesday night. It's just been a good study. But one of them, when we were talking about just the times of discouragement, and in the book of Kings, wrote it down here, in 1 Kings 19, one of God's prophets named Elijah, super discouraged, and just ready, really on the point of almost suicide, is what the Bible says. And you know one of the ways that that God encouraged him? God encouraged him by reminding him, Elijah, you're not the only one. I got 7,000 who haven't bowed the knee to Baal. I'm just saying that even when God is trying to encourage his saints, one of the ways that he does that is by reminding us we're not the only ones facing this difficulty alone. So we face some persecution at work. We're maybe going through some difficulties in our home because of the faith. And one of the best things that Satan would love to do is think that you're the only one. Nobody else has to go through what you're going through. I don't know how many times I've heard that. I don't know how many times I've thought that. And then I realize, as I get around the Word of God, because I love the Word, as you get around the brethren, because I love the brethren, I start to find out I'm not the only one facing these sort of things. How many else, is anybody else encouraged when you're going through the Bible and you find like that text where Paul says, the good that I would, I don't, and all that bad stuff I don't want to do, I find myself doing? Does that encourage anybody else? Why? It's because you realize, oh, I'm not the only one. There's just something encouraging that you're not the only one with struggles. You're not the only one going through difficult times. If you want to stand during times of trials and persecution, love the Word, love the brethren, and know you're not the only one going through it. And so, he gives the examples of the churches of Judea in verse number 14. He gives the example of our Lord Jesus Christ in verse number 15. I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this one because Jesus, just by way of remembrance, we need to be reminded more often than we need to be informed. Jesus says this, if the world hated you, or if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know him that sent me. Now, because they know not him that sent me. Hey, you should just expect that. From people who don't know God, they're not going to be receptive to the things of God. There's just going to be resistance, just like you had resistance. But let me ask you this, a rhetorical question. Jesus says, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So question for you. Did Jesus face persecution? Yes. So what does he promise you? So don't think it's a strange thing when those sort of things happen. Okay? The churches of Judea were facing the persecution. Jesus faces persecution. Then in verse number 15, he reminds us that their prophets were even persecuted by them. Their own prophets, he says in verse number 15. And I find it interesting because Jesus, again, teaches us a little more about persecution in Matthew chapter number 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. When he tells us this, blessed are ye, blessed, and also that word, it really means happy. That's the idea, happy. So happy are you, blessed are you when, fill in the blank, when everything goes right and I get a pay raise and my car is given to me, fill in the blank, whatever you want. Blessed, happy are ye when, how about when you're persecuted? That didn't even make sense. Yeah, I know, but that's what Jesus says. Blessed are ye, he says, Matthew chapter number 5, when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, says, hey, don't you know this? You read the Old Testament. You know those Old Testament saints. They suffered persecution. You're not the only one. Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, says, rejoice in persecution. Why would I rejoice? Because that's exactly what happened to the Old Testament prophets, and that's what you can expect too. You're in good company, Jesus says. So when's the last time that you rejoiced because of the difficulties we've had as a result of our faith? Now, if you're out being a speed demon on I-5 and cutting people off and just being a jerk out there on the road, and you get in trouble and they throw you in the slammer for a little bit, don't go in there thinking, oh, I'm just like the Apostle Paul, suffering. No, you're just an idiot. I shouldn't use that word. Sorry, brother guy. You just weren't using your brain correctly, and you ended up paying a price, okay? That's just how it goes. But when you find yourself suffering because of the choices that you make, rooted and grounded in your faith, that's something entirely different. Paul suffered this persecution as well. He talks about that in the last part of verse number 15 and on into verse number 16. Hey, we too have been going through all these sorts of persecutions. So do you get this point? Paul takes the time to give them four separate examples of people who have also suffered for their faith. And he's doing that to try to encourage them. Now, I don't know what's in store for you this week. I don't know what your neighbor's going to do or say. I don't know what's going to go on in school, at college, amongst coworkers. I don't know what's going to be stated, how you might be put down, how you might be ridiculed. But just because you might be put down or ridiculed doesn't mean you don't live for Christ. If the potential for persecution has snuffed out your light, shame on us. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You got to shine. But I'm the only Christian. Light makes the biggest difference in darkness. Turn out all the lights in this room. All I need is a little bit of a candle and it'll do a whole lot of work. But when we don't shine because what we might suffer for our faith, it's nothing like the fellow I gave you, Mumin Yousef. We're not facing that this week. But when I hear about a man, a 23-year-old man, who's willing to get his teeth busted out, his fingers broken one by one, and end up getting shot in the head and thrown out into the street to be an example, there's something in me that says, you know what, I probably hand out a tract this week. That makes sense? I probably ask somebody, maybe ask my coworker, how can I pray for you this week? Do I always do that? Nope. But I have noticed this. And man, when I find myself loving the word, loving the brethren, and reminding that there's other people out there that suffer for the faith, it just does something in my heart to encourage me to just keep on keeping on. Keep on living for the Lord. If you want to know, you can write this down. If you are a note taker, go ahead and look at Acts 17. Acts 17, verse number 5 through 10. If you want to know some of the persecution that Paul went through, that's where you're going to find it. The specific persecution that he went through in Thessalonica, it's found in Acts 17. You can read that. So, how do we respond? I know what we're going to do. Remember that uncle that made fun of you? Going to go to Bible college? I remember, you know what we're going to do? Let's bust his windows. We sneak over there at night, throw the rocks through the windows. We'd never even know. I know that guy that called you Christian boy. I got a few choice words for him. Show him to me. I'll tell you, I'll put him in his place. I got some words I'm going to put in his ear. I mean, we got all the wrong response. You know what helps a response? The Bible. The Bible will help our response. So how did Paul respond? Well, look at these last ones. These are our closing thoughts. In verse number 17, he says, we, brethren, being taken from you a short time in presence, not in heart. Remember, persecution. After three Sabbath days, I put the Apostle Paul out of Thessalonica. He's no longer there. He goes, hey, we're not physically with you, but we're there with you in heart. We're endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Now look at this, verse number 19 and 20. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? What would cause a Christian just keep persevering through those sort of trials? He says this, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy. I had to spend some time thinking about this. In fact, I'll be honest with you. I feel like I could relate more with all of the first three points I talked about, loving the word and loving the brethren and knowing that I'm not the only one going through difficulties. But Paul doesn't stop there. He ends with this encouragement by saying, the reason why it was worth it is because I see you standing before your Christ. I see you on Judgment Day standing before God. And it's just thrilling. And I stopped. I prayed about it. I said, God, I don't get it. I think I can see this, but why? There's a disconnect with my excitement. And so this is how I feel like God gave me a couple of illustrations to help illustrate this. When I was in, Dad, I think I was in third grade. I was in third grade when we went to Disneyland. Saved up some money and hit the road, went down to Disneyland and Knott's Berry Farm, and we did some sights and sounds down there in Southern California. I loved it. But you know what was even better? Taking my son. When Brian was, I don't know how old he was, everybody else was too little. Brian was maybe 5. Silas, sorry, you stayed at home. But Brian came along. We were down there on a family reunion, and everybody who was old enough went along. And I remember thinking, the teacups. Who in the world would want to ride a teacup ride? We wore that over and over and over. And the only reason why is because I could get that thing spinning, and 5-year-old Brian's plastered up against the back of the teacup, laughing his little head off. It was hilarious. I'm telling you, I had fun when I was in the third grade, but it was a whole nother level as a dad. Does that make sense? How about this? I could climb mountains. We made it a goal years ago that we would climb at least one mountain here in the Northwest every summer. So we've climbed various mountains. To me, it's pretty awesome. You get to the top of South Sisters Mountain, get to the top of St. Helens, Mount Adams, get to the top of Mount Eleanor, get to the top of these different mountains, the views that you take in, the animals, there's the white mountain goats with the black horns that are up there. I mean, just the deer, stuff like that. You just get to see super cool things. Pretty neat. But you know what makes it better? Not being alone when I get there. Does that make sense? When I got to get to the top of those mountains, and Kaylin's waiting for her turn, but when I got to make it to the top of those mountains with my sons, it made it even better. And Paul says this, I'm not content to get to heaven alone. I want others to see it. I want others to be there. And you know what's going to just thrill me to death? Not that I get to experience, but I get to be there with you. And all of a sudden it clicked. God, help me to see souls like that. When I meet people on the street, to imagine what would it look like for this person who doesn't know the Savior, to know Jesus Christ as Savior, to grow in grace and knowledge of who He is, and someday be able to lay His crowns at the Savior's feet? How awesome would that be? I feel like I get a little bit of glimpse of that with Silas over here playing the piano. I walk in, I'm like, he's playing the piano. How awesome is that? He's serving the Lord. I love that. It's super cool. Brett played the offering last week. It was so awesome. I love it. We had a special baptism, especially in my opinion. Why? Because she was my daughter that got baptized last week. I'm telling you, when we get to experience life, and we get to experience, and Paul says this, not just life, but one of these days, when Christ returns, by the way, He's coming again, at that time, you are my joy and my crown, and this is what keeps me going. So, what does it do to the Christian life? For the Christian who never takes the time to invest into other people, you got nothing to look forward to. It's like climbing a mountain by yourself. I mean, you can enjoy it, but there's just nothing like it, man. When you get to help somebody else get to the top of the mountain, there's just nothing like it. You want to make it through trials? You want to make it through difficulties? Start looking for somebody else to invest in. Start looking for somebody else that you can help bring along on the journey. And it'll just do something. I noticed this. We did Go Wednesday. Never did an outreach event on a Wednesday night before. We did our first Go Wednesday. And spent some time, Brother Saffles and I and Garth, we were together, and coming back, Garth was just super fired up because I've never done anything like this before in my life, and he had this anticipation of that some of the people that we talked to would be in church. And I said, isn't it amazing how church takes on a totally new perspective? It's fresh. It's exciting simply because you took the time to welcome somebody else to come along for the journey. But I'm telling you, people who never take the time to invite others along, to invest in other people, at some point in time, church can be dull. Church can dry up. You want to add some excitement? Go start inviting somebody to come along with you on the journey. Just watch what God does. Paul says, that's my joy, my crown, my reason to rejoice. In difficulties, it gives me motivation. And so today, I'll conclude with Romans chapter 8. Go to Romans chapter number 8. And when you get there, say amen. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse number 18. For I reckon, you didn't know Paul was from the South, did you? I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. God never said it would be easy, but he did say it would be worth it. But you want to die like Paul? You got to live like Paul. You want to get across the finish line like Paul did? Then live like Paul lived. I just fear that so many of us anticipate or have some sort of thought of crown and rejoicing like Paul would have, but never take the time to love the Word, love the brethren, look around and even encourage other people going through difficult times. We can make a choice, we can make a decision. Love the Word. Love the brother. No, you're not the only one to go through difficult times. And why don't we just help somebody else along this journey? Let's have a word of prayer. Before I pray, I'm going to just ask a few questions. Maybe God just revealed something in your heart that you want to pray about. Man, take some time to pray. That's what this invitation is for. If you want to come, just kneel at an altar. Be a living sacrifice for the Lord. That's what this invitation time is for. But if you're here today, there's some unsettled business going on between you and God. If God were to take your life today, if you're not 100% sure that heaven would be your home, you can be. It's not based on your good works, your baptism, your church attendance. It's based on what Jesus Christ has already done for you. He's already died for your sins. He arose again 3 days later to prove that he can forgive you. I want to encourage you today, make that choice. Put your faith in Jesus Christ alone for forgiveness. And if you've done that, don't be content to be on your way to heaven alone. Father, I want to thank you for the morning, the opportunity we have to gather around your word. I pray that you bless this invitation now as we respond and help us to respond appropriately. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as the music plays. And let's give these next few moments to the Lord. You come, you pray, you do business as God sees fit.